Thanks for listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. Now, coming to you live from the banks of the Willamette River, it's Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman.
You've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value.
Online at 620kpoj.com and on the air at AM 620 KPOJ.
I want you to get up right now and go to the window and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore.
With Adam Klugman. I am back from New York City. And I am experiencing some technical difficulties here, but I am back from New York after a week off. And I must say that I had quite a time in New York. As you know, is a place where you go to have a little bit too much fun. And so that's what happened to me. I had a little too much fun. I drank a little bit. I ate some bad food, and I'm back. I'm back, and I'm doing something called the Master Cleanse. Have you heard about this? The Master Cleanse. It's like maple syrup, lemonade, and cayenne pepper. And it's all you do for 10 days. I'm on a new kick. I'm on a health kick. I'm on a cleansing kick. The Master Cleanse. My daughter was teasing me about it. You are listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. We have a really, really good show. We're coming back to a strong, strong show. Margaret Flowers is going to be here in the first hour. Usually we just do calls, but Margaret Flowers has something really exciting. And if you don't know who Margaret Flowers is, you're going to find out in this first hour. She is a friend, she is a colleague, and she is one of our country's foremost activists for peace and social justice. And I'm really glad to have her here. And she has a really exciting announcement about something that's going to be happening in October. Also, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, who is a host or co-host or a substitute host on the Mike Malloy Show. You probably have heard him. I'm a fan of his. He has agreed to come on the show, and we're going to just talk about what's going on in Wisconsin with the Kloppenburg-Prosser race. What happened there? There's massive election fraud there. Massive election irregularities. That's just going, just not even underreported, just completely unreported. And then in the third hour, we're going to be talking to someone local who is taking a trip on a flotilla to Gaza. You remember what happened on the first flotilla? The first flotilla was when the Israeli commandos boarded it. 9 people were killed. 1 American citizen died, was apparently shot at close range through the head. The Israelis were sending a very clear message that they don't want any more flotillas and they don't want the world looking in at what's happening on Gaza. But we have a young woman here with us who from Portland who is going to be taking that trip on the flotilla. And it's pretty thrilling to have someone local with that kind of courage. And that's exactly what we like to focus on here on the show. We like to focus on local people who are mad as hell, who are taking direct action. So that's the show. You want to stay here for the whole show. You want to hear all of it because it's going to be really good. And I've got to come clean on something. I've had trouble lately with the news. I don't know about you, but I find it just torturous to pay attention to the local news, whether it's the newspapers or the magazine articles or whether it's Rachel Maddow or whomever it is, even the people like Rachel who are doing an outrageous job. I'm having trouble, like for the past month or so, watching it without feeling a kind of torpor. And that's tough on me because I'm a talk show host. And what I do is take the news, look for something that's happening in the world and try to bring it here on the show. So every day I look through the news and look for something that I think will mean something to you, to me, something that I can say, yes, this matters. This is different than what
people are going to hear on any other talk or television news show. I look for something that will have an impact, a real impact, not just the clatter, but an impact on my life, on your life, beyond the chatter and cluttered claptrap that has become the modern media circus. You know what I mean? And it's been 2 weeks since I've done this show, and so you'd think that in that time I would have come up with something topical. I mean, something that I could pull from the headlines. I mean, a lot has happened in the world since then. Anthony Weiner resigned. Osama bin Laden has been replaced. 32 senators finally told Grover Norquist to shove it. Fukushima has been officially declared a meltdown. And, of course, Ashley can't make up her mind which man she wants to give the rose to on The Bachelorette. But you see, that's the point. Because for me, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, I can't tell the difference anymore between ABC News, Rachel Maddow, PBS, Norman Goldman, or The Bachelorette. And it's not because I don't pay attention, or I'm lazy, or I don't care, or because I'm an idiot. Although some people might want to argue that last point. I think it's because somewhere within me, there's this yearning to move on from that conversation. And I bring that a lot to the show, and I'm actually kind of discovering it as I bring it. I want another conversation entirely. Something in me keeps turning away from the news of the day. Do you find yourself doing that? And I kind of have to pull myself back. And it's not because it's too painful to look, or it's too boring, or too redundant, all of which are too true, but because I feel that there's somewhere else I should be looking. Do you feel that way? I mean, sometimes I feel guilty about it, you know? I mean, for Christ's sake, I'm a talk show host. Shouldn't I care more about the political gossip of the day? I mean, isn't that where it's happening? That's where the industry is focused. That's where all our attention is focused. But I'm finding that I just can't muster the concern. And I'm not even all that into sports, so how hard would it be for me to make the play-by-play decline of the American Empire my championship season? And I often ask myself, you know, if I can't muster the passion to care about the topical chit-chat of the day, shouldn't I at least be able to fake it? But the thing is, I do care. In fact, I think I care enough about what is really going on in the world, and care enough about the people who take time on a Saturday during their one and only life to listen to me, not to fake it. So I'm not going to do it. And if you ever hear me faking it, if you ever hear me phoning in my passion or squeezing out crocodile tears like Glenn Beck, you have permission to call this show and take me to task, because that's information I need. Because I don't ever want to stop genuinely caring, but I refuse to fake it, because that's the growing edge of this life, right? Can you take all that this world throws at you, all the slings and arrows and losses and heartbreaks and tragedies, and still retain the capacity to genuinely care? Can you live in this petty, insane slaughterhouse of a civilization we've created for ourselves with eyes wide open, and wake up each day, in spite of all of your personal disappointment and despair for the planet, and insist that this world, yes, this one, is worth loving? That it must be loved. That in fact you and I are the only ones who can do that. That it all depends on us. Because without you and me finding a way to keep that feeling alive, genuinely alive, there is no innocence left in the world. And no hope. Because it's our capacity to genuinely care, to find a way to love the whole doomed human project each and every day, that will save us in the end. It's what keeps us human. It's what keeps us alive to ourselves and to each other, and preserves the possibility that we will actually evolve a politics of love, a politics of caring. And then, man, I'll read the newspapers and watch the TV shows with a whole different point of view, right? I mean, then paying attention won't be this kind of torturous effort. It won't be gossip, and it won't be, you know, facts masquerading as truth, and we won't need a bunch of suited technocrats explaining what is wrong with our world to us like we were children. We will instinctively understand what is wrong, what is needed, because it will be a story we understand, because it will be a story about us. Now, I'm not saying it will be perfect. I'm saying exactly the opposite. Of course it will be imperfect. That's what keeps it interesting. But it will be an imperfect story about an imperfect world that makes perfect sense. And that's because it won't be told to us. We will be telling it to each other. And I guess that's what I'm looking for. And that's what I can't stand about what passes for news today. It drains me of hope. It diminishes my capacity to care. It numbs me to the pain and suffering that should arouse active compassion and enough outrage to act. So I've got to say that I think I really do care. It's just that I feel so saturated with useless information, so completely overwhelmed with soul-dampening stimuli, that I don't know how to respond anymore. It's all sound and fury signifying nothing. It's news fatigue syndrome, the place where we go to watch the world die in slow motion. And so I've got to look away. And when I look away, I imagine all the noise of the world, all the clamoring and industry and ambition, all the troubled minds and torn hearts and oppressed souls, all the chatter and bile and attack and perpetual cymbal crashing, gut-wrenching, tortured madness of this world coming to a complete stop. And then, in the silence, we are there. Where we've always been, right here, in this silence, because this is where we will start again. And sometimes I think we are so hell-bent on destroying ourselves because we believe it's the only way to get back home, back to the peace of this sacred silence. Because this is where we can remember ourselves again. Right here. So I say, let's not blow up the whole thing just to get back home. Because that's the great illusion of the world, right? That somehow we've been displaced, set adrift, that we're strangers in a strange land. And so many of the stories that we've been telling for thousands of years are all about going home, or how we can't get home, or how we're lost, and if only God or Jesus or Muhammad would just come back, they could show us the way home. But if any of those people were to come back, I think they would probably tell us the same thing. That we are home. That we never left. That we belong here. All of us. And that if we would stop our activity long enough to remember, if we would refuse to keep telling ourselves the same old story over and over and over again, we would discover a new story. Because the real news, the real information we need for the next age is not out there. It's right here, vying for our attention in the vast open silences of the human heart.
Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. Now on Portland's Progressive Talk, 620 KPOJ.
Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. The numbers here are 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. And I'm talking this hour about news fatigue syndrome, the place where we go to watch the world die one inch at a time. And I'm feeling burnt out. I'm feeling like I don't have another episode of Lawrence O'Donnell in me, man. and I'm wondering how you feel about it. 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. Where's the other conversation that we need to be having? Why aren't we having that conversation? I want to hear from you on this issue. 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620 are the phone numbers. How do you feel when you watch the news? Before we get to your calls, we're going to go to our very own Glenn Geller from the Washington County Democrats. Glenn, welcome to Mad as Hell in America.
Oh, hi, Adam. Thanks very much for giving me a few minutes today.
Absolutely. You have some announcements to make, I hear.
Yeah. First, I want to say happy Father's Day to you.
Thank
and
you.
To your dad, Jack, and all of our listeners out there as appropriate.
Thank you. You too.
I'm looking forward to Father's Day with my daughter tomorrow, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We have some upcoming things going on with the Washington County Democrats.
Let's hear it.
Great. Well, this Wednesday, June 22nd, is our Central Committee meeting. A lot of people don't know what Central Committee sounds very strange and odd. All that means is that's the body of the registered Democrats in a county. And so if you're a registered Democrat, you're a member of the Central Committee, and we welcome you to come attend. And we want you to come attend. You find out what your Democratic Party is doing for you at the local grassroots level.
Right.
We have some great guest speakers. Nikki Jabarek, who's the Oregon State Director of Obama for America, is going to be one of our guest speakers. She's going to give a little talk about what the president has done so far and about the reelection campaign that's just beginning, the big grind, and what the future, maybe the next 4 years with President Obama might look like. And we take.
I've got some things I'd like to say about that, but keep going, Glenn.
Okay. So Nikki's going to be there for Obama for America, and there'll be a question and answer period at the end of that. And I have another guest speaker, Jody Russell, and she's chair of the Blue Steel Democrats, and that's the Gun Owners Caucus of the Democratic Party of Oregon. A lot of folks think, well, Democrats, we want to take your guns. Hey, we've already got our own. I'm a gun owner. I'm a member of that caucus, in fact.
So am I.
Jody's going to come and talk about what Democrats who are gun owners, how they feel about gun laws and responsibility and all that kind of stuff. And again, take questions from our audience.
I've always felt it was ridiculous that the Democrats alienated themselves from gun owners. You know, it's the Republicans have really somehow painted us into a corner on that one. So it's ridiculous. People have Second Amendment rights. Democrats should let them keep them and support them in it.
Absolutely, and just advocate for safety and
responsibility
and responsible, intelligent use and enjoyment. I mean, I like I say, I'm a gun owner. I'm proud. I think it's part of our American heritage. Let's find out how we keep that safe and enjoyable for everyone.
What's the way? Go on.
Let me go on. Let's give a quick bit. Our meeting is at 6:30. The door is open. The meeting begins at 7 to 9. PCC Willow Creek in Beaverton, right at the PCC, or Willow Creek Max Center. And come on in. Bring your friends. Don't bring your guns. I don't think they like them on campus.
No.
We have a couple other quick events. We have a new office. We've moved from our little Beaverton office that we've had for 5 years, and we've got a much bigger, more wonderful office in the county seat in Hillsborough. It's at 140 Northeast 3rd. We're having an open house there next Sunday the 26th from 1 to 3 p.m.
Great.
And we'll have lots of Democratic leaders and VIPs, maybe a attorney general or two there. You never know who's going to show up, but it's going to be fun. And then on Saturday, July 2nd, 2 weeks from today, is our Democratic Summer Picnic, and that's in Hillsborough at Red Bridge Park. And our guest speaker, that will be our House Leader, Dave Hunt. There's a lot of great stuff we're doing. We want people to get involved. We talk about being mad at the government, mad as hell, all that stuff. In the local party, we're trying to turn our anger and frustration into action. And you can find out how to do that at our website, washcodems.org. Come to the meeting. Come on to our picnic, come to the open house, meet the people who are working for you as Democrats and trying to elect good Democratic leadership.
Thanks a lot. Washco Dems, washcodems.org is the site. Glenn, I got to go. I got to pick up some calls.
Thanks a million, Adam.
Thank you. Take care. Washcodems.org. You want to get involved? That's the place to do it. Let's go to line one. Don in Albany. Don.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey.
How you doing, Adam?
I'm doing all right. How you doing, Don?
Doing good. Doing great. I simply wanted to say I've seen Monty Python and Benny Hill skits in my time that made infinitely more sense, and there is a question I'd like to ask.
Okay.
Don't, is it just me, or does it seem like things are coming to a head? You know how a count, whole bunch of little things can add up to a hell of a big bang?
Right. So what are you saying? What are you saying, Don?
I mean, it just seems like everything that's been building up over the years is fixing to hit the fan.
Well, maybe it's going to hit the fan and go in the right direction.
I know.
I want you to listen.
That's the feeling I get.
I want you to, yeah, I think it's coming to a head. There's something really exciting. Listen in the next segment. Yeah. Margaret Flowers is going to be here. We're talking about a very exciting event that's going on in October.
I also wanted to wish you a happy Father's Day.
Oh, thank you. Are you
You're
a father,
very
Don? Well, happy Father's Day. We'll be right back with your calls. The number are 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. We'll be taking your calls. Margaret Flowers will be here to tell us a little bit about something that's happening in October that you want to be a part of. Maybe something new. You're listening to Mad as Hell in America. We'll be right back.
At Mad as Hell in America, Adam Klugman is on Portland's Progressive Talks, 620 KPOJ.
Wire is stretched in between our two towers. Stand up in this dizzy world where a lovesick eye can steal the view. I'm gonna fall down if I can stand up.
Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. The numbers here are 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. Yes, stand up. Stand up. I won't have to fall down if I can stand up. That's a lot about what we're talking about on this show. How do we take a different kind of stand for our future? And that's what I was kind of riffing on with the news, which is I'm so tired of that story. I'm looking for something that's going to have impact on our lives. I like a bigger frame anyway, but man, if I heard one more news report about Anthony Weiner or one more utterly meaningless conversation about something that barely happened, that a man lost his whole career. I'm not saying he didn't blow it. I'm just saying it's an insane conversation. The world is flushing, and we're sitting on television absorbing nonsense. And so what is the conversation that we should be having? Our next guest is going to help us figure that out. Her name is Margaret Flowers. She's a Maryland-based pediatrician who has been an outspoken advocate for universal single-payer health care, and she is a bold activist for peace and social justice. She has dedicated her life to this cause. She is probably best known for being a member of the Baucus 8, who were placed under arrest, if you remember, in 2009 by Senator Max Baucus simply because they demanded the right to testify at the healthcare hearings on the issue of single payer. They were not allowed to, and they were arrested. Dr. Flowers now serves as a congressional fellow for Physicians for a National Health Program and is on the National Board of Healthcare Now. She is also the organizer of something very exciting. The website is October2011.org. I'm going to let her tell us a little bit more about it. Margaret, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Adam.
It's
great to be on.
It's always a pleasure to have Margaret. Margaret and I met during the Mad as Hell Doctors Tour. We were screaming across the country. She joined us midway. That was quite a lot of fun.
That was fantastic. We spent a lot of time in the car together. That was very fun.
Having some conversations about the very thing that you have been evolving, and I in my own way have been trying to evolve ever since then, which is, where's the new conversation? When are we going to actually have the conversation about what's happening in our world and how we can create a new world? And that's a little bit about what you're on the show to talk about. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about October2011.org and what's going on?
Sure, absolutely. Well, the time is here. This is a natural extension of my work for single payer because as I travel around speaking, people keep saying, why can't we get single payer reform if the majority of people prefer that? And the answer is always the same. It's the corporate control of our political process and our corporate media that misinform us and distract us. And so how do we challenge that corporate power? Well, it makes sense since all of the issues for peace and social, economic, environmental justice are all connected to each other and all face the common obstacle of that corporate control of our political process, that we have greater strength if we unify, if we recognize these connections and unify our efforts. And that's what this action in October is about. We found in the activist community that many groups were coming to the same conclusion that it's time for a real social peace and justice movement. And so on October 6th, we'll be gathering in Freedom Plaza in Washington, D.C., and inspired by our brothers and sisters around the world and around the country in places like Madison and Albany, New York, and Ohio. We're going to occupy that space. This is not a one-day event. This is an occupation, and we will engage in nonviolent civil disobedience for those who are willing to do that with training and support. And until we have some effect, until we feel like things are starting to shift in a direction that is where we want to go, which is a peaceful, just, and sustainable society.
Well, right on. The minute I heard about it, I was thrilled and excited and asked if I could join in and be a part of it. And they very graciously allowed me in, and I'm very excited about it. I'm working out the logistics to be there. The website is October2011.org, where you can take a pledge to come. Don't take the pledge if you don't plan on coming. That's why I'm waiting until I get all my logistics right. I have every intention of being there, but it's a serious commitment. This is something different. I want to read something from the website, October2011.org. I'm quoting from the site now. 47 years ago, Maria Savo, an activist student at Berkeley, said the following, quote, "There is a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears of the wheels, upon the levers, upon all of the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all." I absolutely love that quote. Is that a fair characterization of what we're planning to do in October?
Right. That's we titled this action "Stop the Machine, Create a New World," and it's Stop the Machine, which is corporatism and militarism. We want to have people having control over how our resources are used. We want to bring our troops home, bring our dollars home, and use our dollars to fund our domestic needs. What's happening in this country is in so many ways criminal. I mean, look at what's happening in healthcare with so many dying of preventable causes, suffering, people going bankrupt, the foreclosures in this country, the unemployment. And what's interesting about October is it's an intersection of a very interesting time. It's both the 10th anniversary of the invasion of Afghanistan, why are we still there? And it's also the onset of the new federal budget, which is going to be an austerity budget. It means there's unlimited spending for military, but austerity for our human needs, for our social services like education, jobs, food stamps, health care. And that's not right. And that's not going to change unless we make it change.
It really is dependent upon us. And what's so exciting to me about this whole movement is we're really bringing together quite a disparate group. Tell us a little bit about the people who have pledged to attend and the factions that they represent. We've been so kind of factioned out. We have the environmental groups over here and the social justice groups over here and the single-payer groups over there. But there seems to be a coalescing going on here. Do I have it right?
Absolutely. And that's what's really exciting about this. In some ways, this is really a test. You know, can we come together and work together for a common agenda of a peaceful, just, and sustainable world? And so far, it's going very well. So we do have we have immigrants' rights movements. We have people from the African-American community, from various faith-based communities, the environmental movement, economic justice, anti-war groups are on board. It's just, and the list is growing because we're continuing to do outreach every day. We've only been up and running a couple of weeks And in the first week, we had over 1,000 people take the pledge, which we think is really significant because it's not like signing a petition. As you said, we're going to go to Freedom Plaza and we're going to stay there. And given that, we also recognize that not everybody can be there on the first day and that not everybody can stay for the whole time. So we're just saying, you know, come as soon as you can and stay for as long as you can. We need everybody to get there.
Chris Hedges has been very much a part of this whole movement. Am I right?
Yes, yes. Actually, he in some ways inspired us with his writings about the need for a culture of resistance. And Chris is a really amazing person because for 20 years he was a war correspondent and traveled around the world and firsthand witnessed what was happening in countries all around the world. And so he recognizes these same kinds of things that are happening here, having seen them elsewhere. And he said, at this point, really what's left is for us to resist and try to change this as best we can.
I have a clip from Lafayette Park in December 2010 that Chris made this speech in the snow. And I caught it on YouTube and was very moved by it. I want to play a piece from it. Let's go ahead and play it, Ron.
Hope from now on will look like this. Hope will not come in trusting the ultimate goodness of Barack Obama, who, like Herod of old, sold out his people. It will not be realized by chanting packaged campaign slogans or attempting to influence the Democratic Party. It will not come through our bankrupt liberal institutions, from the press to the withered stump that is the labor movement. Hope will only come now when we physically defy the violence of the state. All who resist, all who are here today, keep hope alive. All who succumb to fear, despair, and apathy become an enemy of hope. They become, in their passivity, agents of injustice. If the enemies of hope are finally victorious in this nation, the poison of violence will become not only the language of power, but the language of opposition. And those who resist here today with nonviolence are the last thin line of defense between a civil society and its disintegration.
I love that quote. I just think he's so immensely articulate, and I get a sense that that's the spirit that we're coming together, and that this is a new day. We must announce a new day.
Right. Yeah. I was there. Chris and I were arrested together that day. 131 of us on a snowy Thursday were arrested outside of the White House while the president was giving a false report about what was happening in Afghanistan. It was a very moving day. But, yeah, people have a sense that this is time for something different. You know, the normal tools of democracy are not working.
And that's kind of where I was saying at the beginning, kind of a looking away, a turning away from the hypnotic trance of this drumbeat of the same news that is utterly meaningless, has no impact on our lives beyond just the cliches of infotainment, but really keep us distracted from the kind of action that we need to take to, as Maria Salvo says, to throw ourselves on the machine. I think it's time to do that. And I want to do it in a way that isn't anti-establishment, but that is pro-transformation.
Right. That's why we chose Create a New World. We want to stop the machine and create a new world because we have the solutions. You know, we know what we can do in this country to fix our economic situation, to bring jobs home, you know, to do about health care, education. I mean, people have these solutions, but we're not able to implement them because of this corporate control, this profit-driven machine, and the fact that we're an empire. An empire, you know, and we're the largest empire that's ever existed in the history of the world. We have like 1,000 bases around the country.
Around the world, right?
Yeah, and so it's not, the people are being given a very false message, and this I find very discouraging or upsetting, is that people are told that we don't have enough money, we have a deficit, and we have to start cutting these necessary social programs because of the deficit. We have enough wealth in this country to meet our human needs, but we're squandering it through our military budget, through our bases around the world, and now getting into more wars, you know, that we don't need to be in and that are harmful to the people in those countries. So we need to say, stop this machine. Bring that money home. Let's meet our own human needs. Let's stop exploiting the planet and killing people around the world for resources.
And bring forth a compelling vision of what is possible for the future. The last show I did something on the 60s, and we were, you know, listening to Jerry Rubin and Bobby Seale, and in their day they were critically important. And I was saying that we need to recapture the spirit of that time, and I think that we do need to recapture the spirit of that time, our willingness to throw ourselves on the machine. At the same time that it's possible, as you were saying, to bring forth a vision, to create the change, to create a new world, and to say, no, I feel like, as Chris said, this is the last line of defense. It's kind of us right now.
Right.
Or they, I mean, at one point I had interviewed Chris a few months ago, and he said, well, at one level, it's over. They won. But I don't think that's the case. October2011.org is the website. Stop the Machine, Create a New World is the movement. Margaret Flowers has been our guest. Margaret, that's our 1 minute music. Is there anything you'd like to add?
I'd just like to say that we've, because of our wealth inequality, we have huge levels of distrust in this country. We're trying to model a new kind of society based on trust and cooperation, where people have a say over how things are done. So we hope people will join us in that vision.
I know that I will be there joining you in that vision. Margaret Flowers, thank you so much for coming on to the show. Let's just keep having this conversation. This is the one we need to be having. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Adam.
We'll talk soon. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. When we come back, your calls, 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. Are you ready to create a new world? I am. I'll be right back.